brochure that shows all of our products, and you, while I'm sharpening, you might look at the brochure. Of course, we knew this was coming, and the only thing we needed was a can opener. And so I was looking through. I said, "Do you have a can opener?" He said, "Yeah, we do." And I said, "Well, let me see it." He showed it to me, and it was $50. I said, $50 for a can opener? I said, "If that price, the thing ought to go get the can for me and bring it to me." And he said, "No, but it has a fantastic guarantee." And I said, "Really? What kind of guarantee?" He said, "Forever." I said, "Forever? That's a very long time." He said, "Yes, forever. We guarantee our products forever." He said, "If this can opener ever breaks, send it in, we'll give you another one." I'm like, okay, I've spent at least $50 on the past three can openers in the last 3 months trying to buy one that'll work, and it keeps falling apart. So I said, okay, so I've got a forever guarantee. That's interesting. So we got a can opener. And then as we were wrapping up, he said, "Now, have you been satisfied with your knives?" And I said, "Yeah, they've been great. They're very sharp. They hold the blade is wonderful." I said, "Yeah, I have been satisfied with them. Makes my kitchen experience wonderful." It's nothing like cutting with a dull knife. And he said, "Well, if you've been satisfied, would you consider writing down a few names of people that you might think would be blessed by hearing about Cutco knives?" And I thought for a second, not sure I want to give out any names. And then I thought, I have enjoyed Cutco knives. They are good. When I open the drawer, that's what I reach for, because I know it works. And I thought it actually is a blessing. It's a good product. So yeah, I'll give some names. I will share some names. Some of you, maybe you're going to get a call, because some of you. If you do, you know where it came from. But they're quality product. They're very good. They have been a blessing to have, and I thought, why not share the blessing? So, at least you have the opportunity to hear. And blessing has been a theme that has sort of been popping up in my daily reading. And so, Genesis chapter 12. As I have, I don't know if you have a plan that you read through the Bible. I like to have a plan that keeps me going so I don't doubt and wonder, what am I going to read today? And so, if I don't know where I'm going, I tend not to go there. And so if I have a plan, that helps me stay on track. So I have a Bible reading plan, and I've been reading through Genesis, and this week has been a week where blessing has popped up several times, in several occasions. I just want to read the first occasion where this piqued and grabbed my attention. It's also the first occasion where the word blessing appears in the Bible. So Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all families of the earth shall be blessed.'" That's an amazing promise. In you all families of the earth shall be blessed. In other words, God's intention in his relationship with Abraham was to bless all families of the earth. God had a plan to bless every nation, every people through Abraham. So there's a point to the relationship. There's something amazing that God intends to happen through his relationship. From the very first words, this is the first time God speaks to Abraham, calls him out. And he tells him, "I want you. I'm going to bless the world through you." That struck me. As I keep reading, God reminds Abraham of this on several occasions. And so this promise keeps coming up. It keeps popping up. It comes again in chapter 18. And in this occasion, God is about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And as the angels are going forward, he says, "I'm about to do this thing, about to destroy them. Should I hide this from Abraham? Because I know that surely he will become a great and mighty nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." Meaning, it would be good for them to know this because Abraham is going to be a mighty people. I'm going to bless him. All nations will be blessed. So God repeats that command to him. And then again in chapter 22, as God has commanded Abraham to go and offer his son as a sacrifice, Abraham obediently follows. He goes, and just before as he raises the knife, God stops him, and this is what he says. In your offspring shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. God repeats this not only to Abraham several times, but he continues repeating this promise of blessing even to Abraham's son and his grandson. As Isaac grows up, he says this to him, I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and give you to your offspring all these lands, and in your offspring all nations of the earth shall be blessed. And then again, later, to Jacob, your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Do you hear what God's plan is? Blessing, blessing again. I want all families of the earth. Nobody's left out of this. All families of the earth are to be blessed through you and through your offspring. And so, as time goes on, Israel forgets this. The majority of those in Israel forget this intention of God to be a blessing. Yet always throughout the history of Israel, there's a couple of people who remembered this. It's stuck in their minds. And just think, if you had someone tell you early in your life, I'm going to watch you all of your days. I'm going to pay attention to you. You might not see me, but as your life goes on, I'm going to bless you. Would you take note of that? What? How? What's it going to be? What are you going to do? When is it going to come? We love to be blessed, right? Any of you? You love to be a blessing. It's funny, most of you have smiles on your faces when you say, yeah, blessing? Yeah, that sounds really good. So people in Israel remembered this, though the majority forgot. And yet Jeremiah, we find, God speaks to Jeremiah at a time when Israel has totally forgotten this and forgotten the Lord. And the Lord says if they would turn away from their idolatry and would repent and would return wholeheartedly to him and embrace truth and justice and righteousness, he says this will happen. Then nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. And that promise of blessing is good news for all people. Paul also remembered this. He picked up on this and he says, this ancient promise is the root of the gospel. And so Galatians 3:8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, that's all of us, non-Jews, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. Paul says that's the gospel. That's the gospel before Jesus showed up. This promise of international blessing means good news for all people. And it started with that promise from God so long ago. And so, what is it? What is this blessing? Through whom will it come? How will it come to all nations? Paul goes on and he tells us these blessings would come through one of Abraham's descendants. And so, Galatians 3:16, the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to his offsprings, plural, rather referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring. Who is it? Jesus, of course, it's Christ. He's the one through whom all of the blessings that God intended for the world would come. And then verse 14, so in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. So what's the blessing? The blessing is the Spirit of God. All nations, all Gentiles, all non-Jews intended by God to receive a blessing, which is the Holy Spirit, through Jesus, coming through Jesus. Why is that a blessing? Why is the Holy Spirit a blessing? Because we lost that communion with God when we sinned. Humanity was disaffected from God, cast away, cut off, and turned away from God because of sin. Once we were able to walk with the Lord in the garden, I can't imagine what that would have been like. I love that verse in Genesis. Remember that verse? We walked with him in the cool of the garden. That's such a sweet passage. And yet we have been excommunicated from the presence of God because of sin. And yet, this is the blessing. Through Jesus, His Spirit can be given to us. That's the good news. That's part of that plan that God had from the very beginning to give His Spirit to His people and the Gentiles, all families of the earth, to be blessed. And you know what's amazing? Abraham never enjoyed what we enjoy. Abraham never had the Spirit of God dwelling in him like you and I do if you are here this morning and you are a child of God. Moses never experienced the kind of indwelling Holy Spirit that you and I experience if you're a child of God. Neither did David, nor Samuel, nor Isaiah, or Jeremiah, or any of the Old Testament saints never had that right purchased to have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Do you know what blessing you have? Do you realize what blessing the people of God have? Remember what Jesus said? It's good that I go. Why? Telling his disciples who were utterly distraught, thinking, Jesus, why are you talking about leaving? I don't want you to go anywhere. And he said, it is better for me that I go. Better for you that I go. Why? What's the next sentence? So the Comforter can come. That is staggering. We have and are able to enjoy, living this side of the cross, a blessing for which none of the Old Testament saints were able to enjoy. The very presence of God poured out in our life. That's incredible. What else does that mean? Part of that blessing means you will never be separated from God. Never. There is nothing you can do as a child of God to be separated from Him. Not one thing. All of your sins, this is the blessing that Jesus purchased for us. All sin taken care of. Jesus died to pay for our sins. And then He gives us, He pours out on us His Holy Spirit. And Paul says, this is a guarantee of the full blessing that we will receive when we get to heaven. A forever blessing. Much better than a promise of a forever blessing of a can opener. 2 Corinthians 5:5. He who has prepared for us this very thing has given us His Spirit as a guarantee. When you put your faith in Jesus and you surrender, you admit your sins and you ask Jesus to forgive your sins, you surrender your life to Him, He gives you His very Holy Spirit as a guarantee. Meaning, this work that I have begun in you, I will complete it. And Paul says in Romans 8, there is nothing that can then separate His children from Him. Not height or depth, or death, or life, or angels, or demons. Nothing can then separate His children from Him, from a personal relationship with God. This is the gospel. This is the good news. There is a way to be reunited with God. There is a way to have your life fulfilled. There is a way for you to experience intimacy with the Lord, not feeling completely alienated and lost and that He does not care. And so many of us struggle with that, don't we? We think, how can God care about my life? He does not care about the little details of my life. And it's not true. He gives us His very Spirit. Our invitation is to walk in the fullness of that Spirit. That's part of why we come together each week. So this promise of blessing, was first given to who? Who was it? Abraham. Repeated to his son, who is? Isaac. And then came the next guy? Jacob. Continue that promise through the nation of Israel to be a blessing, so that in the, one of those descendants, all nations would be blessed, all families, ultimately culminating in the life of Jesus, who comes and secures the blessing that was promised, which is the ability to have the Holy Spirit poured out into your life. Well, let me ask you a question. Has God's intention for that blessing changed? Is God, okay, Jesus has come, and so I no longer want all families of the earth to be blessed. Does his plan change? Of course not. Is Abraham around to proclaim that blessing? No. Is Jacob or Isaac or Jeremiah or Isaiah or Paul? He gets around. No. What about Jesus? Who's left to share this message? Who is it? Who will it be? This is the gospel. This is the good news. In you, all nations will be blessed. That's the promise. And so one fact I would like for us to be very clear about. What is the gospel? How many of you, Andy just said it, right? How many of you know? Do we know what the gospel is? If someone were to say to you, what is the gospel? What would you say? It's a little tricky, isn't it? I was trying to think up of ways to help us remember what this might mean. And I came up with a silly little way to remember it. Cool stuff just seems really cool. If you can remember that, you might be able to remember the gospel. Cool stuff just seems really cool. It does, doesn't it? Such a true statement. I had a couple of them that I asked Alex, my son. I said, which one of these would help you remember the gospel? And I named out a few. And he said, the cool stuff one. So, okay, so let's go back. Cool stuff just seems really cool. So cool, what's the cool stand for? Creation. When you share the gospel, you need to tell people that they were created by God. That in the beginning, God created the earth and everything in it, and that he had a plan for you, a relationship, an intimate relationship with his people. He created the world, and he created every individual in it, and he still does to this very day. There is a God who created. And that's the C. S, the cool stuff. S is next. What came next? Sin. There was a problem. A problem entered the world. We were in a relationship as humans that had all of our satisfaction met in God, and we decided to seek satisfaction elsewhere. We decided to obey. And so sin entered when we turned away from God and to something else. And that broke that relationship. Sin then entered the world. And then came J, judgment. God passed a judgment. In that day, if you disobey me, you will die. Every sinner deserves to die. And since God has created this world, one day he will judge this world. That's what Paul says when he's preaching at the Areopagus. He says, God created a world and he has appointed a day and a man by which he will judge the world, the man Jesus Christ. So judgment. We have to mention a fact that there will be judgment. But, good news, S, substitution. Substitute. There is a substitute who will bear our punishment, our judgment. Jesus came into this world completely sinless. He never sinned. Sin had no claim on his life, and yet he died on our behalf. Not because he was guilty in any way, but he died for us who are guilty. And so he bore our punishment. And next, resurrection. His offering of his life, his atoning life, was satisfied. It satisfied the wrath of God. He then rose from the dead after complete payment had been made for all sins of those who would trust in the Lord. He rose from the dead. It proves the point that his death was valid as a good sacrifice in God's eyes. He gave him his life back, and so he rose from the dead. Resurrection. And then lastly, call. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If you put your faith and your trust in him, you know that you're a sinner and you say, I cannot bear the penalty of my own sins. I don't want to die. I want to live. Will you save me? What's the answer? The Bible's promise is anyone who cries out to God in the name of Jesus for forgiveness of sins and repents and turns away will receive everlasting life and be given the Holy Spirit. That's the call. So that's it. Creation, sin, judgment, substitution, resurrection, call. Can you remember that? cool stuff just seems really cool. And it is wonderful. He gives us his Holy Spirit forever as a guarantee. There's no taking back what God gives. If you are his child, you receive his Holy Spirit. He never disowns you. That is a guarantee that you will inherit eternal life forever. Wonderful. So, my question to you today is, do you know anyone who might be blessed by hearing about this good news? Would you be willing to write down the names of a few friends who would be blessed by hearing this good news? You're not selling anything. You just want to present some facts. And if this is good news, would you be willing to write down some names? We are messengers of a blessing. This is what landed on me this week. How many of you see your relationship to God as a blessing? And so if that's true, if you have been blessed, can we not simply share that with someone? I was willing to share knives because I was blessed by knives. Surely we can talk about eternal life in a way that is a blessing to people. So I want to invite you today to sit down and ask the Lord, think about it. Who would be blessed? And I want you to put pen to paper. And you can do it right now. If names come to mind, write down right now names. If you enjoy something good and you have been blessed, it is easy to talk about it. If you have seen a good movie lately, you can recommend it. If you have read a good book, you can recommend it. Dave Chamberlain has got a good book in his back pocket about every week to recommend, right? So we can talk about the things that are good. If your salvation, the gift of God's Holy Spirit, is good to you, think about some people who need to hear it. And then it's up to you to go and invite them to come and hear on February 11th. That's what I'd like you to do. If you would commit to doing that, I would like you to right now bow your head and pray to the Lord and say, will you help me think of some people? If you will do this, this is not a passing assignment. It's not a waste of time. It's not a clever way to close a sermon. It's earnestly an invitation. Would you please, if you have been blessed by the Lord and you know the goodness of his Spirit, would you ask him, give me some names, Lord. Who might I speak with? If we are the ones who carry a gospel message, a message of blessing, then in each of you will all the families of Boston be blessed. Through no other messengers in this area will the gospel go, but through those who hear the gospel and want to share it. Father, let us be a blessing. May we be messengers of a wonderfully good news, something called the gospel, which hopefully we will be able to share this week. Let us remember what it means. And Father, I pray that you will put on our hearts names of people who would be blessed to hear what Jesus has done. And then we ask you, open wide the doors so that we can go through them by being prepared to share. So Father, help us remember creation and sin, judgment, substitution, resurrection, and call. Help us to remember those essential elements of the gospel. We ask all of this in your name, Jesus. Amen.